right, at this time, please, you may go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And it's also in your bulletin there as well. And all right, Mark chapter 10, we are looking particularly at verses 13 through 16 here this morning as well. So Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13, hear ye then the word of the Lord. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy holy word. And Father, we do pray that you to open our hearts and grant us, give us illumination and understanding by your Holy Spirit, that we might hear and walk according to your word and will. Father, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, certainly we have been such for a long, long time. We've entered the days of a lot of funerals, okay, and we see that pretty much every time it starts to get cold with the weather changes and all that, and seems to be a connection there. I see that a lot. It's probably because of the cold air and the stress that it produces on the body, but anyway, we've said goodbye to a great deal of people, some very precious saints here at Antioch over the years and this year as well. And in my recent funeral message as well, where I discuss what happens when we die, it seemed very apropos for our communities today. However, now we must follow up that with the very entrance of a person into the kingdom of Almighty God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all know, of course, that at heart, everyone desires or wants to go to heaven when they die. Even the worst of them would really, if you were to ask them, they really want to go to heaven when they die. But we also know that in reality, most of those who still want to go to heaven still want to live a life of sin and unbelief. Okay, they want to have their cake and eat it too, right? They want to be able to sin without repentance, to sin without consequence, and still go to heaven. Most of those want to do that, but they haven't ever really repented of their sin, and they haven't turned from their own sinful lifestyles and behavior and turned to Christ. Now, yes, they want to go to heaven, but they also want and refuse to let go of their sin. And so we must consider, would you enter the kingdom of God? Do you really want to be a part of the family of God? Are you even a child of God? Because that's mandatory, right? What hinders you from entering into the kingdom of the children of light? The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last time, we heard the teachings of Christ on a very current and controversial subject, that of marriage and divorce. Now, that could be very, very difficult. And Jesus, of course, held very firmly to the Bible's teaching, even though it was not a popular one. He held firm that the men and women are equal before the eyes of God and must maintain their faithfulness to their marriage as well as their faithfulness to their God. They say, "I love you, Lord," then you should be faithful in your marriage as well. And so now, as we saw the marriage and divorce and all this, the children are being brought into the forefront for us here into the discussion. Children are not disposable. They were never to be considered disposable. Yet in the ancient days of Rome, sometimes you would find parents, they said, "Well, you know what, we don't want this child," and they would leave that baby there on the steps somewhere. And sometimes if they may be found, and a Christian family might pass by and they'd pick up that child and raise them as their own. Pretty tough days to live in, for sure. But children are not disposable. They are not to be rejected. They are not to be ignored. Not at all. In fact, I'm always tickled pink when we have kids present in the sanctuary. It doesn't bother me if they cry at all. I'd rather hear them cry, of course, than not to have one here. In fact, just as any man or woman is to be welcomed into the church, so the children are to be received and they are to be welcomed as well. And we need to realize that. And he will bring us, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring us a very real truth to consider. if you yourself would enter the kingdom of God, is pivotal to our understanding of this passage. Consider then our first heading coming from verse 13. Would you bring your children to Jesus? Very simple, right? Let's look at the text. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. First of all, it kind of shocks us and surprises us as well that they rebuked the parents for bringing their little children over there to be touched by Jesus. But yes, that's what exactly what they did. Okay, as they had basically through all throughout his ministry, the people were coming to Jesus nonstop, over and over. They were coming to him, and they would seek and they were hoping that he might touch them, whether for healing or some other kind of blessing. Usually they were hoping to receive healing, but they would also hope for a blessing on their little ones. Okay, on their little ones, on their children. Now Luke's account, Luke's gospel, indicates that these little children were infants, or very bare minimum, they were included among all the other children. But they were infants or babies. And of course, Jesus takes them up in his arms, so they're little, right? They're not large infants or babies, but they're little ones, okay? So why were they bringing their little children, their babies, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, at the time, okay, there was a practice among the Jews of having their little baby boys blessed on the day of their circumcision. That was a common practice, especially if they could be blessed by a prophet. But we have one who's far greater than a prophet here, okay? Far greater than any prophet out of history, for we have the prophet, priest, and king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now imagine having your little baby girl and your little baby boy held in the arms of Christ today. It's easier for us to kind of picture that in our minds, with Christ holding your little baby boy or girl in his arms and to be blessed by him. And what a wonder that would be. Okay, that is what's taking place here. These parents are excited. They're taking their little babies to Jesus to be blessed by him. And they're glad to do so. They're excited to do so. They want to bring their little ones to Christ. And they have him, you know, provide some kind of blessing for his children, for their children. So they're very excited to do so. And by the way, to have Jesus touch their babies or their children meant to have him bless them. Okay, so it wasn't just kind of touching them as they walked by. It was an expression for a blessing, to bless them, to lay his holy hands upon these children and to pray for them. Just to be touched by Jesus was a blessing, much less. Okay, for him to come and directly pray for you, which is a blessing. That is not something that you'd want to turn away from. That was not something to complain about. That is not something to rebuke other people about. That's certainly not something to deny these parents, who would have the blessing of Christ upon their little ones. And yet, what happened? The disciples saw this happening. Perhaps they were standing, you know, nearby a door or something like that. They saw this happening and they thought, they see what's taking place. Oh no, wait a minute. We cannot let them distract Jesus from his work. He's got a lot of work to do. We can't let them get near him because he's going to be a total distraction for him. We can't let them be disturbed by this common day silliness. After all, they're just infants. As the other ones partly before, they would say, after all, they're just women. Let them flip through their marriages one by one. After all. And then Jesus is correcting a lot of this misinformation. The idea is we can't let them come near. After all, they're just little babies, okay? We can't let them do so. They're insignificant as their mothers are. Now, the disciples are learning, so give them a little break and a little bit of grace, okay? Jesus has to correct them, okay? 3 years he's going to be training these men. But Jesus cared for the women too. He cared for them, and Jesus cared for these babes also, and he still does. But the disciples, as well-meaning as they may have been, they were dead wrong in this, rebuking these parents for bringing their children to Christ. Jesus, you bring them on. What are you doing? Bring them on. Yeah, absolutely bring them to me. Okay? They were dead wrong. So they rebuked the parents for bringing their little ones to Jesus. They didn't rebuke the babies. Okay? But all of those bringing their children, they rebuked. They didn't have time for them, and they certainly thought Jesus didn't have time for them either. They probably thought they were doing something good. All right, we need to free him up. He's always crowded. You know, there's just little babies. They can't understand them. You know, let go on, you know. So they may have thought they're trying to do something helpful, okay? But certainly Jesus did have time for the babies, all right? Did absolutely. It was not true what they were thinking. They may be too busy to worry about them. They may be, but Jesus will take the time. He will take the time, and he will teach, and he will instruct, and he will correct his disciples. He will correct them. Now consider, will you bring your children to Christ? Would you have them reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Will you bring and have your children to come with the services with you and to see and to hear the gospel, but to hear and see you singing? And yes, whether you sing great or not, the kids are like, they're really singing. You know, they're participating. And so the children pick up on this. Even little ones can see you're doing something when they may lean back in your arms and look at you when they do that. That's really cute, by the way. But are you living your faith in front of your children and your grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren? Or do they simply see mom and dad and grandma and grandpa going through the movements but not living their faith? Because a lot of times that's what happens. A lot of times we have our Sunday best and we're on our best in our behavior. We got the happy mask on, and then after services, they go home and they're screaming in the car. You know, they're fighting on the way, and they're not discussing the things of Christ or the Bible, what the lesson was. They're not discussing any of these things, but they begin to tear down one another even before they get home. And I understand that, you know, children will be children and all these things happen. But are we going to live our faith in front of them? Okay, and before them. How many times have I heard this, and y'all have heard this probably yourselves, we need more children here in the church. We need more children in Antioch. But when I ask them, okay, because I've heard this more than once myself, we need more kids in here. I said, that's very good. Where are your kids? Well, they went to church with Billy Bob and Sally Sue down the road, and they went to church with them because they're having some kind of special thing going on over there, and then they're going skiing, you know, for the winter, and then they're going to go out to do the whatever the latest Wave Runner thing, some latest gadget out there. And so they want to be able to go and have fun and do all that. And so they don't bring their children because they're interested in getting their kids acclimated to these other things. Doesn't matter what the church believes. Doesn't matter what they teach. As long as they have something that's entertaining for the kids. All right. But I always ask, where are your children? And they tell them, well, they went to church for their friends. Well, have them bring their friends here. Yeah, have them bring them here. Because where are they going? They're going to Arminian churches where they would deny some very basics. They're going to charismatic churches, okay, where they deny the sufficiency of Scripture and the absoluteness of the Word of God. They're going to prosperity-driven churches. And there are some tuning in to some of the biggest heretics on TV. They're horrible. And yet they'll do so because that's where their friends are going, and so that's where they let their kids go. What happens? The kids grow up, they think, you know what? Mom and Dad didn't care where I went. Doesn't matter where you go to church. They all have a couple songs and a sermon. It's all the same. Doesn't matter where they go. It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter if you go to that church or that church, as long as you got love in your heart. And then you wonder, well, they're 18. I don't know why they don't go to church anymore. I don't know why. Now we need to bring our children to Jesus Christ. They must learn of Christ. They must see and hear of the gospel from your own lips. And that time you spend in prayer for them, pray aloud for those little children. Quiet prayer is good. Let them hear you pray for them. That's encouraging. They hear mom and dad are praying for me and my particular needs. Don't embarrass them. Pray for them, though, and pray for their needs. But also gather together with those children in the body of Christ. Do you want your children to be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you need to bring them to Jesus. You want to have and you need a vital personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they will see, they know if your faith is real or not. They need to see that your faith is genuine, that you truly know and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. They themselves, your children, need to see that your faith is real. They don't care what the pastor says. Well, you should care, but they want to know if mom and dad, what do you think? Yeah, this is what the pastor said, and this is what the Bible actually says. And so, yes, we go through that. They need to see your faith as real and genuine, which leads us, secondly, our second heading, are you then hindering those who would come? Look at verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Okay? Take note of this, what he's saying to these disciples. Jesus saw what they were doing. He always sees what you are doing. He knows what we're doing. He saw it, and it angered him. Okay, this word that we have for indignation, it refers to righteous anger. One theologian said this, the Greek word that Mark uses here means indignant, which is a state of anger that's aroused by injustice. And that is what Jesus is feeling. So Jesus is not happy about this at all. He's not happy about it at all. Okay, that's not what he wants for them to be doing, to turn these children away, but let them come. In the same manner, the disciples were rebuking these parents for bringing their little ones to Jesus Christ. That was an act of pride, right? Possibly an act of pride. The disciples are still striving. They're still learning, okay? They're still being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, back in chapter 9, verse 36 and 37, Jesus took a little child as an illustration, saying, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So you receive Christ, you receive the Father also. Okay. Now, so it was not long after that the disciples were pushing the parents and their children away from their comments, rebuking them, turning them away. And so in his righteous anger toward the disciples, Jesus said to them, let the children come to me and stop hindering them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Let them come. Permit it. Allow it. Welcome them in. Bring them in. Don't stop them. And the language is very strong that he's using. The idea here conveyed is stop hindering them. Don't stop them. They're not insignificant. And they're very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are important to Christ, and they need to be important to us. And then Jesus gives them the reason that they need to stop hindering these little ones from coming unto him. These little infants, though needy, though weak and helpless, come to him in complete reliance and dependence on God. He says, for to such as these belong the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Does this mean that all babies and small children, that means all of them are automatically belong to the kingdom of God? Is that what that means? No, that's not what it means. Does it mean that simply because they are children that they belong to the kingdom of God? No, of course not. Even though there are some who would say that all children are born innocent and automatically go to heaven if they die, are children born innocent? No, they're not. They are born sinners. They're born in sin. They're conceived in sin. They have a sin nature, and they need the redemption of Christ. They need to be redeemed. Now, having said that, these infants are covenant children. Okay, here in our text, they're covenant children with believing parents, and they have the benefits of being in a covenant family and all the privileges such as attending worship together and hearing the preaching and hearing the teaching of the Word of God. But even these little ones must be saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, as always. They must be saved by grace through faith in Christ, always. They need Jesus just as you do. And so the disciples, they were hindering and they were rebuking those who were coming to Jesus with their children, and they were corrected. And they were corrected promptly by the Lord Jesus Christ, very quickly. But are we somehow hindering our children? Are we somehow stopping them somehow from coming to Christ in some way? Is our language that we use in front of them a stumbling block for the children? Are our own actions contrary to what a Christian should be doing according to the Word of God? Does our profession of faith match our walk of faith? Because the little ones, they're going to pick up on it in a very fast time. They will pick up on it in the blink of an eye. They will pick up on it. Do you discipline or do you punish your little ones? Okay, do you discipline them? Discipline is done because you love a child. It's a correction so that it teaches them what's right and wrong. Okay, it's a correction. Discipline because you love them. correcting from erroneous behavior, right? Punishment is done because you're mad at them. You're just mad at them. Stop hindering your little ones. Okay, punishment is not really corrective. Okay, discipline's corrective. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, when you're disciplined that you didn't get upset. Maybe if you get that kind of angry about it, you need to go take a break, you know, and then come back and discipline the kids. I know it's not always easy. All right, I understand that. But we do so that make a difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is done purely because you're angry at the child, all right? And that can be easily taken too far. Nevertheless, Jesus makes it even clearer who he is speaking about. Who he's speaking about. It is not just about the little children. Yes, here it includes the little children, but it's not just about little children or babes whom he does love and he does care for, but he speaks of more. He speaks of you and me. He speaks of us. He speaks of the body of Christ. He speaks of all those who've been born again by the Spirit of God, who were made children of Abraham, made children of the kingdom of Christ by faith in Jesus Christ. Because we must ask ourselves, thirdly, would you enter the kingdom of God? In verses 15 and 16, Jesus said this, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Is Jesus saying that we have become, or we must become childish? He's saying, if you need to be childish in your day-to-day life, you need to be as, you know, ignorant of the things around you and just kind of do what you just want to do, like a little child would, you know, and go and dump out the crayons in the middle of the floor. What would be the adult equivalent of that? I have no idea. If you think of one, think of, let me know. However, he's not saying that you need to be childish. After all, little children play. Little children can be silly, and little babies especially. There's not a whole lot they can do other than scoot themselves around and smile, but they're careless and they're carefree. Is that what Jesus is saying? He said, "Truly I say to you." And meaning, of course, what? He said, you need to listen to this. "Truly I say to you," because the Lord is about to give you a principle to grasp and a principle to understand. Why does the kingdom of God belong to such as these little children? Because these little ones are trusting, they are reliant, and they are totally dependent upon, of course, the Lord for life and salvation. Okay, they're totally dependent. Little children, little ones. Okay, R.C. Sproul said this, "We must trust in Christ with simply childlike faith if we are to be saved." To be childlike is not childish, okay? Childlike, that humility, that dependence upon the Lord. We are to have that same kind of childlike faith. He said, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God," you may have like a child, literally as a child, okay, "shall not enter it." Okay? "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as or like a child shall not enter into it." It is not a command to be childish. It is a command to receive the kingdom of God as a little child would. How do we receive the kingdom of God? With humility, right? Humbly before God. And so obviously, yes, that's true. But we do so in faith. We do so with a true, trusting faith in Christ alone, because as a child, we cannot do so by ourselves. As a little baby, it is totally helpless. Probably the most helpless thing out there in the whole world, you know, is a human being baby. And they're totally dependent on their mothers and their moms and dads. Totally dependent. Trust them. You know, I'm hungry. What do? They cry. They can't say anything. Give me food. All they do is cry. And mom and dad, and they feed the baby. What do? They get diaper needs to be changed. You know, they don't do this. All right? They don't do that. They cry. You say, cry sounds, my wife, cry sounds different. That means diaper's changing. Like, how in the world do you know the difference? And it sounds like crying to me. But anyway, she was able to tell the difference. And all the mothers are like that. Okay, they're able to pick up on that. And fathers too, eventually, sometimes. But in faith we do so, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because as a child we know we would not be able to do so by ourselves, but in complete, total reliance upon the Savior, okay? On the Savior, Jesus Christ, so we have salvation. William Hendrickson, a great Bible scholar, said this. He said, "Receiving the kingdom of God as a little child means to accept it with genuine, trustful simplicity, with unassuming humility." Obviously not saying that to little children, but to adults. But why? Because it is as a child would do, not as a slavish keeping of the law, but by faith. By faith. Hendrickson gave a sweet illustration. I want to share that. He said the gold pieces, in this particular story, the gold pieces were piled up on the estate outside windowsill, okay? The gold pieces were piled up on the outside windowsill. And there was a sign there. The sign said, "Take one." All day long, people passed by thinking, this fellow is not going to fool me. All right, he's not going to fool me. And eventually, evening fell, and the owner was about to go out and remove the pile. He's going to take the pile of gold pieces and take them home. But just before he did, a child came by. The child read the sign, and the child calmly, without the least bit of hesitancy, took one. And so it is for us to receive the kingdom of God. It is to come in trusting faith in Christ, reaching out to Him. That's the same kind of picture for us. I think it's a good picture. If we don't enter as a child with that kind of simplistic, childlike faith, trusting in Christ alone, reaching out to Him, if we don't enter like that, Jesus said, we will not enter at all. We must come with a trusting faith in Christ as a little child would to her mom and dad. Look at verse 16. And he took those little children, those babes really, he took them up in his arms, just like this, right? And he blessed them, because you lay hands on one, right? Lay his hand on her head, you know, and the touch, right? Usually there's a laying on of hands in that kind of manner. But he would pick them up, lay his hands on them one by one. You know, the mother and the father, whichever one it was step forward with their little babies. And I was just, I don't know, when I was going through this and preparing, I was just really touched by the tenderness that is here, though. But the mothers and fathers, one by one, coming up and bringing those little babies, and Jesus taking them up in his arms, you know, despite how the disciples kind of felt about it, you know, he laid his hands on them and he blessed each one. You know, he take them up in his arm, you know, that little cradling effect, put his hand on them and bless them, and then hand them back, and they bring the next baby over there and the next child, and just one by one until all was done. So there's a very, very great sweetness about what we see there. A sweetness that even these disciples of Jesus Christ will never forget here. Okay, what they thought was burdensome and unnecessary and even insignificant, Jesus says, "Oh no, you bring those little ones to me. Bring them to me. And to such as these belong the kingdom of God." Would you enter the kingdom of God? Would you enter into heaven on that very great and final day? Because if you would, then you must come as a child, in faith, in humility, in dependence, in complete dependence, because I cannot save myself. Only Jesus can save. And He still saves, even today. And the message is still the same today as it was back in Mark's Gospel chapter 1. What did Jesus say there? Slip up your hand? No. What did He say? Who needs to walk out? No. He calls them. What's the great command that Jesus issued in chapter 1? Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Yes, we are unworthy. Yes, we are sinners. But we turn from our sin and we turn in trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only provision for salvation and forgiveness. Not our own works, but in Jesus Christ alone, who, just as He gave this picture of taking out these little ones in His arms and said, don't hinder them, so He speaks of those who come to Him and like faith. Because yes, I really think on that day, you know, He's going to take us in His arms and laying His hands on us and you know, bless us as we enter into the joy of salvation. So by His grace, we are still saved. And what a beautiful, very sweet picture that we have, and we see of Christ, even in the midst of a rebuke on His disciples, that tenderness that's there, and that compassion that He shows for these children, which is an exact picture of how He feels for you and me, too. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Thy holy word, O Lord. And Father, we thank You here for this beautiful illustration here from the very life of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King. Lord, as He opens up His arms, Lord, to take in these little ones, Lord, a picture of all those who come to Him in faith, Lord, takes them up in His arms and lays His hand upon them and blesses them, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray for such a blessing upon each one here today, Lord, and those who may be hearing elsewhere. But Father, we pray for your blessing upon them. May they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ today and truly repent and believe for the very salvation of their souls and see and behold the tenderness of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.